most elegant expression of something that I believe to be true, which is that, of course, survival is never enough for us. And that's why we have things like books and radio, why we have things like sports. We're never satisfied with just the basics of food, water, and shelter. We always want something more than that. And that's something more. You could call that civilization.
St. John Mandel's appearance at Parkside tonight is open to the public. It begins at 7 o'clock and will take place in the school's main stage theater. Coming up now on 11 minutes after 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg, quick check on sports and weather. The NBA, the Bucks are off. The Bulls lost to Toronto. Tonight, the Bucks host Denver. The Bulls are off. And the NHL, the Blackhawks are home tonight against Anaheim. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Thursday, February the 15th. Cloudy, foggy, and mild. 30% chance of rain. And today's high heading for 43. Right now it's cloudy. Some areas of fog. Headlights on for safety as you drive. 39 degrees in Racine. It is 38 in Kenosha. Wind from the west-southwest at 12. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD and The Morning Show comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, offering online degrees in sustainable management and health information management technology. Online degrees for emerging careers from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside in partnership with UW Extension. To learn more, visit uwp.edu. And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show. I'm Gregory Berg. And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. As always, it is a great pleasure to welcome into our studios for his monthly visit to the program, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. We're always happy when he makes his way across the hall to join us in the studio, and particularly when there are a lot of interesting things to talk about. President Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
It's been a lively few weeks since we last talked to you. And for one thing, Gateway ended up being mentioned in Governor Walker's State of the State address. And that has to feel pretty good.
Yeah, that was really exciting. You know, we received a call a few days before the State of the State. The governor was looking to highlight some of the partnerships that that take place across the state, especially with Foxconn coming to our area. And we had the fortunate opportunity to have one of our students recognized during the State of the State presentation. And what a thrill it was, because we not only spent a day at the Capitol, we did have a chance to go to the governor's mansion and really help to highlight the important role that Gateway plays in the development of Foxconn. And as you know, just recently, the last few days, they announced a new North American headquarters in Milwaukee, again, signifying the investment in the state and how important it is for all of us to think about what role we can play in providing the workforce of the future. And so to be mentioned is a good thing, but to actually be a part of the whole development project is even better.
Excellent. I know you're recently back from the National Workforce Development Institute. What is that all about?
Yeah, WDI is what we call it for short. And it is actually the largest conference around workforce training in the country as it relates to the American Association of Community Colleges. So Gateway's been an active member in the American Association for many years. The last 5 or 6 years, we had a real strong role in helping develop some content for the Workforce Development Institute. In fact, one of our guests today, Matt Janison, spoke at the conference, as well as Roger Tedieski, our other guest. They're highlighting some of the unique partnerships that we have and the programming that helps to support workforce development. I think the timing of it was really important, because as we learned in the President's State of the Union address, the focus on workforce development, the need for technical skills, infrastructure, and I think he even used the term vocational education. We don't often use that term any longer, but the idea that we're going to help people young and old find the right skill path in order to get a great job. And so for Gateway to be in a leadership role at the Workforce Development Institute always makes me proud. It's really great to kind of hear what other colleges and states are doing around the country and just to help us benchmark ourselves to stay current.
Excellent. Before we get into our conversation today, I know you want to say a quick word of thanks to everybody who's been part of the big Racine United Way campaign.
Yeah, I just want to thank our audience, not only Racine, but Kenosha, Walworth County, for anyone that helped to support the United Way. I was really honored this last year to serve as the campaign chair for the United Way of Racine County, and we held our big victory celebration, which is sort of the end of the campaign season, last week, and we raised $5.3 million, so the second largest campaign in the history, 95-year history of the Racine United Way. And what a great celebration, and I want to give Eric Gallion a great round of support. He's going to be the chair next year, and I'm going to stay on the campaign with him because I think it's an important cause, and we know, you know, those investments that we make, whether it's a dollar or $100, make a big difference in our community.
Absolutely, and wherever that happens, Racine or Kenosha or anywhere where the United Way does its good work. So very good. Congratulations
Thank you.
All who were part of that. So today we talk about the term certification, which is something that gets thrown around quite a lot, but I think the average person doesn't understand just how important certification is in terms of our daily lives and making important things function as well as they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's probably ties right into the opening comments there because you think about it for a little bit. You know, everybody needs a driver's license, so someone's going to certify you that you're eligible to drive. Or if you're in an occupation, you might have to have a license to work in that field, like healthcare or dentistry. In industry, in manufacturing, it's usually a credential based on a set of skills that you have. So you can become certified to be a manufacturing technician or a CAD designer, and a lot of those credentials are offered right here at Gateway. And part of the network that we provide across the country is through a group called the National Coalition of Certification Centers, NC3. And Matt Janison, our guest here, Vice President Matt, he has been a champion for Gateway in helping build out that infrastructure, not only here at Gateway, but across the country. And Roger Tedieski is our executive director of the NC3 network, who facilitates this model with colleges and schools in all 50 states, including Puerto Rico and in Morocco. So we're real excited to be able to share a little bit of information on what we do in the area of certifications here at Gateway.
Fantastic. Glad to have both of you here. So Matt Janison, Vice President of Business and Workforce Solutions here at Gateway. And then via the telephone, Roger Tadevsi, who is CEO of the National Coalition of Certification Centers. So he's going to be able to give us kind of a even broader perspective on certification and how that functions at a place like Gateway and all across the country. Gentlemen, we welcome both of you to the morning show and glad that you're with us.
Good morning.
Good.
Morning. Great.
Matt Janison, you've been on the program before, but I don't think you were Vice President Matt Janison before that. So tell us all that you've been doing here at Gateway and when you became Vice President.
So starting in 2007, I actually started as an adjunct here, and that's really when NC3 and some of our certifications were getting going with Snap-on originally. For a few years up to 2011, I did that while also being a high school instructor at Elkhorn High School, just out west. And then in 2011, I had the opportunity of coming on board full-time at Gateway and doing more with the certifications at a national level, teaching our students as well as instructors from around the country in the areas of our Snap-on certifications as well as our FCA Chrysler certifications. But then a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity, after our friend Debbie Davidson retired from her position, of taking on a new leadership role here at the college and continuing the great work of certifications at an administrative level.
Fantastic. That's a meteoric rise.
Yeah, I was just glad you mentioned Debbie. I hadn't even had her name mentioned here in a couple of weeks. We do miss her. I hope she's listening to the call. I'm sure she's on the beach somewhere, which is always good, too. But I just want to give Matt a really big shout-out because he's been a real strong advocate for all services at Gateway. And now leading Business and Workforce Solutions is going to give us another way to create a footprint in our community as well as in our college. And he studied this area. He's got his doctorate in the area of certification. So he's the right person to lead this effort for us.
Great. Matt, where are you from originally, and how did you initially find your way to Gateway?
Yeah, so originally I'm from the other corner of the state, the northwest corner. Rice Lake is where I kind of grew up and graduated from. UW-Stout, being in Menominee there and up in that area, is where I gravitated towards. I got my bachelor's and master's degree at UW-Stout in technology education, and as Brian just mentioned, I also pursued my doctorate there, too, in career in technical education. It was after graduating with my bachelor's and looking for my first high school job that I started teaching in Cedarburg, so just north of Milwaukee for a couple years. And there I met my future wife, and we kind of settled in this area of the state. And ultimately, I ended up at Elkhorn High School in about 2005. And there I had the chance to kind of recreate and resurrect an automotive program. And one of the goals was to connect with Gateway in our dual credit and transcripted credit partnership. So that's really what connected me to Gateway and the faculty. And they were phenomenally helpful in that process and giving our students a career pathway into Gateway here. And that's how I got connected to Gateway and be able to become part of, like I say, the Snap-on partnership and NC3.
Fantastic. There's so many different ways that Gateway connects with the community, and in this case, through Matt's leadership, building a partnership with Elkhorn High School. Now we have many different articulation pathways with Elkhorn and all of the schools. We've talked about a little bit on the program here, but I believe this first semester, now we're into the second semester, but first semester we serve 3,500 high school students through articulated credit, and that not only is great for the students because it shortens their pathway to a college career, but it saves a lot of tuition dollars for parents. Last year we saved over $1 million in tuition money for parents and their families. So it's great that Matt understands that entire sequence of experiences. It'll help us build even stronger pathways going forward.
Very good. Well, Roger Tadaszewski, we are happy to have you with us as well. And you've been on the program before. We don't soon forget a name like Tadaszewski. So anyway, it's great to have you here, CEO of the National Coalition of Certification Centers. Give us a little sketch of your own career in this field.
Well, great. Thank you. And excuse me. I'm excited to be on again, Greg. And you know, it's as I touch on that, you know, it's always exciting to hear the pathways that whether it's Brian or Matt or myself on how we got to where we are. And it's all about, you know, that someone is involved in our careers. And like Matt and Brian, you know, I started out in career and technical education in high school and became an automotive tech with Chrysler Corporation, and then diesel technology with Cummins International at the time, and you know, built from that. And then I actually went over onto the materials research and development side with TRW Corporation in the oil field and gas industry, and then spent about 8 years with Rockwell at the time when they owned the Rocketdyne division on Space Shuttle main engine and Atlas and Delta rocket engines, and then came full circle back into the career and technical education side, and started an organization called Automotive Youth Education Systems. And then, you know, through that pathway back in it was probably like 1997, 98. I met Dr. Brian Albrecht, you know, through Skills USA and several other organizations, and you know, we began to work on many fronts, whether it's in presenting at conferences, all about where technology is and where it's going, and how our community colleges and our career tech centers at our high schools are just a vital pipeline. And a vital component of our workforce in the United States. And then in 2008, 2009, we formed what has become the National Coalition of Certification Centers, or NC3, which really focuses in on the public-private partnerships between global industry leaders and our community colleges across the country. And I'm very proud to say that Gateway was one of the founding members of this organization that now has a little over 600 institutions involved, nine global corporations that are not only leading corporations in the world, but are also major technology developers that you know, bring their knowledge in where technology is today and where it's going to be in the near future, directly into our community colleges like Gateway across the country. And as Matt spoke, was part of our national and is still part of our national coalition of a leadership team. It's how do we develop those instructors that are doing great jobs in the classroom already, but how do we get them connected to industry and bring that knowledge directly into the classroom so that these instructors can embed that, integrate these certifications right into their two-year, one-year programs, and the end result is a student being able to come through these programs, get great education on technology, but also graduate with a industry-developed, industry-recognized certification that they can take out into the employment market and get a great job and build great communities like Kenosha and Racine across the country and be part of the social fabric. So that's a kind of a quick history of Roger and my background and where we're at today.
You know, it's absolutely amazing, and I'm so proud, Roger, because it takes champions in order to develop these types of models. And I think about how far we've come in the last 10 years and the important role that you play, because not everybody schools operate the same way. So Gateway is not the same as in Kansas or Oklahoma or in Seattle, Washington. And so to be able to build those bridges of how these types of programs, industry-embedded credentials, can fit within the model that that particular school or community offers is really quite a talent and skill. And so you just deserve a lot of credit for all of that. We would like to think that everybody wants to follow the same template, but when you start talking about standardization, it becomes quite a complicated conversation.
Yes, it is, but it's all doable. And our regions around the country, Brian, are made up of great people and organizations and companies, and yes, they do have their uniqueness, but it's part of that uniqueness, as we all know, that makes America great. So that's, it's all exciting at the end of the day about the opportunities for young people today and what they have currently and what's coming, especially when we think about what Foxconn and all the, new technology and those pieces. It's truly a definite new timeline in American history with technology and Industry 4.0 or advanced manufacturing, all these things that are coming in, and community colleges are right at the center of that.
For those of you just joining us on the morning show today, we're talking not only with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, but also with Roger Tadzewski, who is CEO of National Coalition of Certification Centers, and right here at Gateway, Matt Janison, who is our Vice President for Business and Workforce Solutions. Matt, let's talk about this on a local level for a moment and talk, for instance, about a company like Snap-on, with which you have a long and rich history. And for instance, for a company like Snap-on, what difference does certification make? And in what ways has that sort of shaped what Snap-on has been able to do and accomplish?
Well, Snap-on's always had a great historic educational presence, so they've been a great partner with education. But as Gateway and Brian specifically kind of approached them back when we were developing the Horizon Center in 2007 and looking at more of the curriculum side of it, in automotive, we tend to put those skills together in certifications. A lot of people are familiar with like ASE, the Automotive Service Excellence certifications. So when we looked at certifications of skill sets that were typically missing in schools at that time, Snap-on also did some research. They want to stay on top of their market. And they really found out that, maybe their technicians that purchased their equipment, especially in their diagnostics area, were really only utilizing about 20 to 25% of that tool's capability. And these are expensive tools, so they really weren't getting the full value out of it. So how could they better serve their customers and make sure that their customers were utilizing that tool to its fullest advantage? And that's really where our first certifications came out of, in the area of diagnostics, being able to use this new technology, the computers that they have and equipment that talk to the computers, be able to diagnose and help fix vehicles and troubleshoot them. In that way, we can both serve the incumbent workforce, the local technicians, but also be able to embed these certifications into our programming at Gateway so our students coming out have these skill sets. And these skill sets for schools aren't typically found within the textbook. So when a technician in the field was using 20-25%, a lot of the instructors that they surveyed and found out were using much less than even 20% of that tool's capability. And a textbook is written, for the most part, kind of tool generic. So there are gaps in that curriculum. So in this case, a company like Snap-on can work directly with Gateway and other partnering schools and develop a curriculum that we put into a certification package that plugs those holes in our curriculum so students get both the broad general knowledge but also some very specific technical knowledge that they can utilize when they go out on the job.
Fascinating. Roger Tedeschewski, what about the auto industry in general and the importance of certification in it? We hear so much about how technology is really changing drastically the whole nature of the auto industry. I should think certification matters even more in an industry like that.
Oh, absolutely. And as Matt just touched on, you know, there's really two very important buckets here. It's the legacy skill sets that we can never forget about, and that is measurement. You know, how to use a micrometer and a dial indicator, basic electrical measurement, and those focal points, and you know how to problem solve, critical thinking skills, all those things. And then the other part of it is just as you mentioned, Greg, is technology. You know, we have vehicles today on the road that are being tested in I think it's something like 27 states already with autonomous driving. Now they still have a driver behind the wheel just because it's required as the vehicle is being prototyped and tested out there, but the vehicle is essentially out there driving autonomously without a driver, a human driver assistance on it. And that's great. You know, and those vehicles are going to be, are on the road, as I mentioned. They're going to be in the marketplace in probably the next 24 months where the consumer potentially will be able to buy these vehicles. Roads are being built to adapt to that. But on the flip side of that is you know, it still takes a technician to maintain these vehicles. And the technician of the future, which Gateway and many of our other technical colleges around the country are already starting to train some of these around certifications, is that advanced diagnostics. So that, you know, that young student is learning those skill sets and that certification when they come into the marketplace and go to work at a Fiat Chrysler dealer, and they can walk in day one and say, this is where I went to school, and here are my 30 or 40 industry certifications from bumper to bumper, from electrical to transmissions to diagnostics, you know, et cetera, that hiring manager can be able to say, okay, great, here's where we can start and take that. I think the other part, too, I don't want to forget about is that, you know, just as Brian and I and Matt have talked this morning, these certifications are putting young people on a great career path. And, you know, we don't know yet, but we can certainly know that out in this population that is getting these new certifications is another Brian Albrecht coming up through the ranks, or a Matt Janison that is going to be, you know, a teacher somewhere, and then that teacher will become a dean and so forth. And that is also truly exciting about the young people that are coming through these programs, and they will be our future leaders here in the next 10 or 15 years, and that's also exciting. And they'll be carrying with them this tool set of not only career and technical education, but really the first cohort of students across the country that are going to be coming into the marketplace with industry developed and recognized certifications.
Yeah, Roger, I think you raised some really good points. I like the idea of talking about technology as the bridge between industry and education, because it's one of those areas in which we all can continue to learn. So industry is developing new technologies, learning how to apply that into the consumer market, and schools and teachers and students are learning how to adapt to that technology and use that as a tool for their own progress in their careers. And it just really helps to develop that common language between the two institutions. And I just want to give you a quick comment here. When you mentioned maybe finding another Brian Albrecht, everyone here smiled. There is only one, and they only want one, I'm sure, if that's what it is. But hopefully there's another Matt out there. We need another Matt. Thank you.
Speaking of Matt Janison, so explain how the certification process tends to work in a classroom setting. I mean, what sort of happens from the start of the process to the finish? What kind of a journey are we talking about for someone who participates in that?
So the process really starts with the instructor. What we really found out, and we kind of knew, but you know, the instructor is the number one influencer in the classroom. That's the person that develops relationships with the students and really, you know, gets them engaged with the program as a whole. So the certification process, as it is, make sure the instructor is very comfortable and confident in delivering content that they might not have been previously. So for the first time, you know, the instructor really gets a package that has to make sure that they have both the equipment, the curriculum, and the training. And the training is a real key piece to use all of that. You can spend money and you can buy curriculum and buy equipment, but if you don't also invest in the instructor, they'll never utilize it to the effect of really impacting students in a positive way. So the instructor gets the equipment and the curriculum, they get the training, and they bring it back. And then we also, at the training, teach them how to integrate it into their existing classes, again, to kind of plug those gaps and holes that I was talking about earlier. Once they're implementing that in the classroom, the students go through kind of a standardized experience where they're using the equipment in a way that we taught the instructor how to deliver it. They're getting the same curriculum that their instructor had at the training. And at the end of their lab performance and practicals using the equipment, going through the curriculum, there's an online exam that is hosted through the NC3 exam site that the students will log into. They pass their lab practical, they pass their online exam, and then they're issued a certificate that is endorsed by our industry partners, whether it's Snap-on, Sterrett, Fiat Chrysler, Greenlee, and then they can utilize that to build their resume and their portfolio and be able to really showcase the skills that they learned while in class.
Roger Tedeshevsky, is that a model that gets used all across the country? And is that a model that works well for other companies outside of Snap-on and Gateway, for instance?
Oh, absolutely. This is what is instructors have been asking for and knowing that they need, that didn't really know how to get to this at a both at a local or regional or national level. And certainly for industry, as we talked earlier about the technology that is in the marketplace and more coming, you know, we can go across the spectrum and talk about Snap-on and Fiat Chrysler on the automotive side. But you know, as we're building new buildings and remodeling buildings across the country, you know, a building automation system controls technology. How do we make existing buildings, even if they were built 80 years ago, how do we make them more energy efficient with the HVAC side, the heating, ventilation, air conditioning side? And Ingersoll Rand Train, which is another great global technology leader, but a very important partner event in NC3 that helps bring that technology into the classroom, into all of our refrigeration and heating, ventilation programs. Greenlee, which is a division of Textron on the electrical side, but not only on the commercial electrical side, but also on the, you know, when we think about fiber optics and how do we, when we talk about Industry 4.0 and how technology moves back and forth and connected language between machines, some of that's done by Bluetooth, some of that's done by Ethernet. But all those connections and critical fail-safe connections on wiring and fiber optics, you know, Textron and the Greenlee organization, again, is another global leader that brings that into the classroom. So as Matt described that, that is now happening at over 600-plus schools across the country. And in then scaling that within those schools, you know, we have 2, 3, 4, 5 instructors now in each one of these schools and different programs that are implementing these certifications. You know, another one is 3D printing with Bosch and Dremel that are helping, again, bring that creativity, but in those ideas and the what-if questions of young people and bringing that into a 3D printed object that they can then figure out, well, is this something that would actually could be manufactured? So it's building those things across, you know, multiple areas within our schools. And at the end of the day, that's where you know, just to give you some numbers and impact of what Matt just described, you know, when we first started back in 2009 with our first certifications, we certified just about 359, 360 students to where last year in 2017, we did just over 80,000 certifications in 1 year. So in 2018 looks to be even a bigger year. So the end result of what Matt just described is that to date, we are almost at over 300,000 students that have been impacted by industry with technology, and they can carry these certifications out into the marketplace. And at the end of the day, it's how do we help them get great jobs, be able to build and grow their families and be part of the social fabric of our communities, and build that across the country. And we're seeing just tremendous success in all these areas.
Roger, I'm always impressed with the number of students served, close to 300,000 now through NC3 and over 1,200 teachers that have gone through the certification training program. And in fact, today, right after this radio show, Matt and I are going to head over to another conference center where we're going to welcome hundreds of students through what's called the National Signing Day. And that's a way to recognize students for choosing a career path in technical education. I know that you're in Kansas. Maybe you could just highlight very quickly some of the activities and what is this National Signing Day event to try to get young people interested in technical careers?
Yes, Brian, thank you. And yes, we've got an exciting day, as you know, there at Gateway. I am here in Kansas. And let me just kind of touch on National Signing Day. You know, about 5 years ago, actually here in Kansas, we have a great president of Washburn Tech, Clark Coco, who used to be or is, you know, still closely and follows in NCAA, but he was a basketball coach. And one of the things that he brought to our attention was we have really got to change the image and the opportunity for young people and their parents and communities about what all these availability of these skill sets and education in our communities through our technical community college. And we are hearing the same thing from our industry partners, how do we get young people to be aware of not only that this is not a consolation prize of going to technical education, is actually the pathway in the economy and will be for the next 20 years, is these are where the jobs are at, and they still can, and just like all three of us on this phone today, have the pathway to go on to a four-year degree and beyond. So we put together kind of like on the basketball or collegiate, the dignity of parents being able to say, wow, someone wants my son or daughter. And so across the country today, we'll have 52 schools that are going to be part of our National Signing Day. And young students are coming from high schools all around these communities to Gateway, to Topeka, Kansas, to Wichita. And they're going to be committing in February, today, February 15th, to attend school this fall at these community colleges. And they're going to be signing up from programs from automotive technology to nursing to graphic arts, communications, construction trades, dental, you name it, welding, diesel. And they're going to be committing, and their parents will be at these programs to see that their commitment, their career path, but also that our industry partners are here to support those young students and say to them, by going through these programs in a year or 2 year, whatever pathway you choose, you will have employment and a job coming out the other side. And so it's just going to be a great day. Each one of these programs is probably going to have 200-300 students plus their parents, grandparents that come in and are part of this. Also, NC3 today, if you're hearing this, go to nc3.net, and you can click on all these institutions across the country and be able to see it on the web. As Brian mentioned, I'm here in Kansas today. This morning, I'm actually visiting Manhattan Technical College, where the new National Bioscience Lab is being built, and then I will be at Topeka at Washburn Tech for their opening session, and then I'm going to hop in a car and drive down Interstate 35 to the west to to Wichita State University, where Dr. Sherry Utash is going to be hosting her National Signing Day. So we got a busy day where I will probably be able to see a little over 600 students across the programs this morning committing to technical education. So, Greg, it's going to be a great afternoon.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, Roger. You probably need one of those autonomous driving vehicles for all the miles you're going to put on just today. But I'm always thrilled. You go online, see all these schools celebrating technical education, all these young people getting excited about it. They'll sign a letter of intent, they'll get a baseball cap, and they'll commit to beginning to turn pro in their profession. And it's really amazing, whether it's a profession in HVAC, automotive, healthcare, as you mentioned. And it's an exciting time, and I encourage everybody to log in, if you can, nc3.net, just to get the excitement of what this is all about.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Brian, if I could just add one piece to this. The other part of this is it's truly changing the image, but creating awareness for our civic leaders, our governors, the economic development folks that get an opportunity to be not only exposed, but be part of the workforce and the future of their communities, and in the, you know, how companies are going to grow and expand, or new companies coming into that, and they are able to come to the technical community colleges, Brian, and meet people like you and Matt, but also be exposed to all this new technology that is happening, and they'll see that today, and be just be part of this great piece. So we've really truly turned the corner on getting the exposure to these great career paths across the country.
Mm, good point. Matt Janison, President Albrecht, in his visits to the program, is talking always about advanced manufacturing and Industry 4.0. And, of course, it's something that's being talked about all over the place in all kinds of different contexts. Tell us your understanding of what that term really represents, Industry 4.0. And in what way is NC3 certification really significant when we talk about this particular arena?
So probably the easiest is to start with, you know, Industry 1.0. And that's really back in the Industrial Revolution when we started to mechanize production. So we started using steam and water power. And from there, we put some more mechanical systems in place, and we went to Industry 2.0, which was kind of the mass production, the assembly line, that part of the Industrial Revolution. Then a little bit later on, you know, when you get into the 70s, 80s, we started to see robotics and some automation become into manufacturing, and that started to help the efficiency. Now for Industry 4.0, we're still using robotics and automation, but we're overlaying what we have now, you know, smart technologies and creating smart factories where all of these pieces of equipment and automation in the factory are now communicating on the internet. So we have the Internet of Things. So all of the sensors and data now is being collected. All of the robotics and automation are collaborating and talking together. And we're using this big data to find increased efficiencies and to increase productivity throughout the manufacturing process. When NC3 starts to look at this, we can start to look at companies that are involved in this space and what are some of the skill sets that, you know, a new student or a new person looking for another career is going to need in this new smart factory. So again, smart factories are going to need smart technicians. What are those skill sets and what's that going to look like in a school? And how can we package that for when there's not a lot of curriculum anywhere right now written for advanced manufacturing and smart factories? Where are those specific skill sets and specific pieces of specialized equipment that we can start to model and put together? So working with companies like FANUC and ABB and Robotics and Rockwell and in their automation and PLC controllers, how can we partner with them and companies similar to that to create a curriculum similar to what we did with Snap-on and Train and our other NC3 partners to make sure that the workforce will be upskilled and ready for these new Industry 4.0 smart technician-type careers?
Wow. I should think that just staying ahead of that curve is a real challenge in and of itself, right?
It changes on a daily basis, and as technology changes, and, you know, we're going to have to change with it. But that's where industry helps inform and guide our decisions. They're on the cutting edge with that.
Yeah, and I think it's a great example because, you know, in Industry 3.0 and even before that, an individual would become certified in a particular skill set. So you may have had a Rockwell certification or even a FANUC certification. But what Industry 4.0 does is brings those two skill sets together. So now technicians need to know not only how do the robots work and how to repair them, but how do they communicate and how to use the programmable logical controllers, PLCs, to be able to assure that that production is being as efficient as possible.
And to look at the data that's coming out of those automation systems and robotics because of preventative maintenance. So you don't want any downtime that's unscheduled. And a lot of the data that's collected today, we can actually predict failures. And some robots today can even, you know, schedule their own maintenance and order their own parts for the technician to be there and be able to repair them.
That's what I need, Greg.
Don't we all? Right. Wow. Roger Tadevsky, let's talk about teacher training in such a world that moves at such a dizzying pace. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about what happens at these teacher professional development workshops that are part of what NC3 does.
Yeah, Greg, those are so important. You know, when we started back in 2009-2010, we started with one trainer that was actually hosted and still hosted at Gateway. But now we are up to seven. So we almost every 7 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks, we are doing a train-a-trainer geographically across the country. We just got done in Phoenix, Arizona, where we have a little over 80 instructors from across the country attending that. And the next one will be coming up in Tennessee. But these are where we really not only help the instructor learn the skills and the knowledge that are coming with these certifications. They themselves get certified. These, again, are hands-on, competency-based certifications. So these are not certificates of attendance. These are certifications that the instructors are in the train-to-trainer with their peers, with our national trainers like the Matt Janissons and our industry partners, and they may spend 3, 4, 5 days going through these certifications, learning it. They are able to attain 80-90% of the knowledge that is out there from the industry. And then also part of this is then when they come back to school, they still have attendance and they still have grade books to take care of. So we want to make sure that they are very confident, as Matt touched on, and be able to embed this into their curriculum. So we spend time with them on how to embed it into their curriculum and then be able to deliver this to their students. So this is just a total, you know, critical piece. The other part of this professional development, though, is also is what does the classroom look like? How do they build relationships with our industry partners? That's why at each one of these we have industry there that they get to have, whether it's at a coffee break or at lunch or during the class, that they're able to engage with industry and understand this new technology. And in the other part of that is just like we talked about, where's the future Bryans of the world? We're looking at all these trainers as where we find the future Matt Janissons of the world, and helping our colleges and our deans and our vice presidents and that professional development side. So as an instructor attends these, they go through it, but then they have the opportunity to become part of our national training team. And even just that gateway with Matt's recent promotion to vice president, this is a piece that even Gateway is now, how do we take their next instructors both in automotive and mechatronics and these areas and make them part of this professional development process and fill that position that Matt has held. So those are the pieces that we're doing across the country. The other part is this, is that industry truly engages and just sees this national organization of instructors and their professional development as a way to connect with them and be able to bring this technology into the classroom even faster than historically, as Matt mentioned. It's happening every day. So really for the first time in history, education and large companies, global technology leaders, are working hand-in-hand, shoulder-to-shoulder as this comes into the marketplace and is able to get it into the classroom. And that is a change to where historically it might have taken 4 or 5 years for some of this to be able to get into our classrooms and not in a standard way, not being able to engage directly with instructors. So with the, as Matt touched on, Industry 4.0, the machine-to-machine language, autonomous vehicles, data analytics, that's another big piece that Matt was touching on that is huge across the spectrum in manufacturing. Ingersoll Rand Train is looking at data analytics and, again, how to make their buildings much more energy efficient. So these are all pieces that are already being developed and are coming into our classrooms as that technology comes out in the marketplace. And that, again, results in young people getting great skill sets that allow them to get great career opportunities.
Yeah, it's a lot to absorb, and if you're a classroom teacher, that professional development is really critical just because of the fast pace that industry changes. And I just want our audience to know that Gateway is here to support teachers and industry partners to help build that bridge and really build connections so that people understand how fast the training programs are taking place. And in fact, on March 21st, through the 23rd, we're running a conference in partnership with the American Technical Education Association, a national event here at Gateway to demonstrate those partnerships and to begin to expose folks to the certification pathways. And if anyone's interested, they could just go to ateaonline.org and learn more about that event on campus.
Matt Janison, you've delivered several of these teacher trainings. What has that experience been like? And especially, what has it been like for the teachers? What has their reaction been?
Yeah, so some of my best memories are over the last 10 years of being able to train these instructors at a national level so they can go back and issue these certifications in their classroom and, you know, upskill their own workforce like we've done locally here at Gateway. And it's been overwhelmingly positive for the last 10 years. Never before, again, have they really had the complete package or all three legs of the stool of the equipment, the curriculum, and the training on how to utilize both of those into the classroom. So if any one of those three pieces are missing, you really aren't going to have the impact on students that you really expected. And that's why the NC3 model, I believe, has been so successful and has grown because it puts, again, the equipment, the curriculum, and the training, the professional development fees for the instructor all together. Their comments are typically, that the training and the professional development, the networking with instructors around the country has been the best, most relevant, most useful training that they've really ever had professionally. And it's really inspiring when you see an instructor who may have been teaching for 20, 30 years, and by no fault of their own has possibly kind of fallen behind in their skills because they're teaching the same entry-level stuff year after year, and the industry just somewhat passes them by. But they have this opportunity now to get this new equipment, curriculum, and training, go back, and they've literally said that they've been re-energized and kind of have a new renewed passion for teaching and are excited to go back and share this curriculum with their students because they know it's going to help them eventually get jobs and be that productive member of society and part of the community that we really hope them to be. So it's been a great experience.
Well said. Roger Tadashevsky, we can give you about 60 seconds or so to tell us your hopes for the next 10 years for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. Where do you hope things are going to go from here?
Well, great. I'd say in 60 seconds, we've got a little over 600 schools up and running. I look to see each one of those schools being able to deliver, 2,000-3,000 certifications to their student body. And then we've got another 600 schools in the next 10 years that we see coming on board. And how do we develop truly, another 1,000 Matt Janisons out there? We do need 50 more, maybe 200 more, maybe 300 more Brian Albrechts out there across the country. And, of course, working with our great industry partners, the new technologies coming into the classroom are really going to make a difference in our communities. And truly, even in our small communities, our rural communities are so important to the United States. And how do we help develop those in partnership with industry and our other tech colleges? So it's exciting times.
That it is. Roger Tadashevsky, CEO for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. It was great to reconnect with you today, and thank you for all the good work that you and your colleagues are doing in this important matter.
Thank you.
And Matt Janison, congrats on your rapid rise here at Gateway Technical College as one of its vice presidents. It's great to have you with us as well.
Thank you very much.
And the one and only Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg.